Didn't know that. Because it's still morning too, isn't it? Okay. Good morning, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Colquhoun in the 12th floor of the Capitol today for our administrative portion of our regular scheduled commission meeting. It's about 11:20, June 11th, 2014. I don't have any opening comments. Do my colleagues have anything?
I do not have any.
Commissioner Florgia?
I don't either.
Okay, we have four items on consent. I would move passage of the items on consent.
Second.
We have a motion, a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, we'll go right to discussion. Consumer Affairs Report, Stacy.
Well, hopefully you have the reports in front of you, and I did that right this week. Yes.
Before we start with this, I just wanted to make note that this is the first Consumer Affairs Report since we had our creation of the Consumer Affairs portfolio. Stacy and I have been meeting every other week to go through complaints and talk about what she's hearing, what she's seeing, and so this is the first report to the two of you. It summarizes the last couple of months, and we'll do this, I think we decided, quarterly.
Right.
Okay.
And the reports that you have in front of you are actually from January 1st to now, since we hadn't looked at them. But from now on, then we'll try and do them quarterly so that you don't have such big numbers in front of you. The first report that you'll see is the breakdown for public utilities, and it breaks down the different companies. One thing that I will point out is you're going to see a lot of public input listings, and that's because of the new public input system that we are using. And before Jen left, she actually put public input in there for all of the open cases, right? So you're going to see a lot of public input listings there that didn't necessarily take place in this time period.
A lot of them are not from this time period. There's, you know, volumes of them from some big cases that came in last year, the year before, or whenever.
Yeah, so just be aware of that. Like the Keystone Pipeline, there you'll see 103 entries underneath that, and that's why, because they were just recently updated. And I don't know how in-depth you guys want to get, or just browse and then stop me on anything you're interested in. The next report is for all of the different divisions, not just public utilities. So you'll see the listings for like the railroad issues and so forth, testing and safety. And then the third one is for quick referrals. And quick referrals are put into the system when there's not necessarily follow-up needed, so they're not necessarily complaints. They're the ones you get with just questions or the ones that you have to refer to other agencies. The Lifeline link-up calls that we get all get logged under quick referrals because there isn't actually any further action that I have to take on them. So you'll see a lot of those. And then there's a couple of charts in the back. Was there anything specific you wanted me to point out, Commissioner Fedorchak?
I wanted to talk just a bit about the CenturyLink area. This is one trend that Stacy's noticed, that we're getting more calls from customers of CenturyLink than probably any of the other utilities we regulate. And she's mentioned that they aren't necessarily complaining about their service as much as their customer service. Here's the question of how we want to follow up on these kinds of trends. It strikes me as an opportunity for us to write to them and say, you know, I can do it as a consumer affairs portfolio lead, or we can do it together, just a letter to the CenturyLink folks in North Dakota, or that we're seeing this trend and we wanted to share that with them and ask them to follow up with us and talk to us about how they can improve their customer service. And Stacy has talked about, you know, she's followed up on the complaints, and frequently they're handling them correctly. It's just that they aren't communicating with the customers how they're doing it. And so, again, it's not so much that their service is the problem. It's how they're communicating with customers who have issues with them, and it seems something that they could work on and improve.
Well, I think that appreciate you guys putting this together, because what you pointed out is exactly why we should be doing these.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not a surprise, because CenturyLink, I get a lot of phone calls on them. The challenge, I think, with CenturyLink, well, with companies that we don't directly regulate, I think if it's a concern about, like, let's say an MDU, we're having problems, then maybe that would migrate over to, if it's a portfolio concern, if there's something on reliability or some pertinent case. But this, I think, is a perfect one for to come from Stacy and or you who, as a consumer affairs, and
mm-hmm.
and get their person to come in here and say why they're having these problems. Because we've had a long history with CenturyLink. And we actually, it wasn't that long ago, we had CenturyLink in here. I can't remember who the other provider was, because they had some serious concerns with who was trying to serve, and they kind of dug their heels in that it's not our issue. So I think whatever we can do to put that out there, I think I'd be fine with that, if that makes sense.
I agree. When we notice a trend, they'll probably be anxious to know about it as well, because it may be something they're not even aware of, that people are calling here and not necessarily letting them know. And I'm sure I would Stacey hope that they would want to block it too.
Yes. So when they contact me, then I have a contact with CenturyLink, Mary Brewer, who I contact and work with. So there's somebody at CenturyLink who knows. Now where it goes from her, I don't know what their procedures are for her mm-hmm. reporting back what she's hearing. But when I get contacted, then that information goes to my contact at CenturyLink.
But they're government relations people. I don't think it would hurt to for them to know about it as well.
Well, it also, in my opinion, might give them the leverage with their higher-ups to say, this is what's happening, and we've been notified by our Public Service Commission that they're seeing this. So what are we going to do to address this?
Great idea. So, I think put a letter together. And whether you want to sign it as a port, like I would do on pipeline safety, I would sign it. If you wanted to sign it, or however you want to.
We'll start with that. We'll do a letter together, and I'll sign it. Okay.
And then, Stacy, this is really good. Tell me how the numbers relate. Like, if I see something on the first one, I don't know, let's just say the CenturyLink ones, how do those numbers relate to the second one when you have them broken out by division? Like, public utilities, 237. So the numbers over here tie into that 237? The numbers in the contact record, how does that tie into the second one?
So the first report that I had in your packet is only things under public utilities.
Okay.
So it's just breaking out the public utility complaints by the actual company.
Okay.
Where the second report is all of the different divisions. So then that's breaking out the railroad, public utilities. So, yeah, that's why the 237 matches to this. So this public utilities 237, the first one just breaks out the detail of what those were, because that's the major area that we get all the calls in.
Okay.
And then it's also important, I think, to note on the second report that lists it by kind of division. When it comes to the license and rail complaints, most of those are not going to Stacy. Those go straight to the division, like either to Sue or to Daryl.
Yes, they're licensing, and mostly they're railroad in that category. They go to Daryl. So Daryl would be able to provide any insight that he has in the railroad area. But, yes, they go to Daryl.
And then the testing of safety goes straight over to probably Shelley or Pat.
I think Shelley inputs most of them.
Okay.
Does everyone in the agency know we're coordinating this now? Does everybody tell you of the complaints that they get, or are there some complaints coming in somewhere that you're not aware of, possibly?
Yeah, if they're going directly to Shelley, let's say, for a weights and measures or licensing, and she puts it in, I might not know about it.
Okay.
Or Sue, I don't know if you input. Except that I'll see it in the report here, but I don't necessarily know about it.
To Randy's point, though, this underscores the importance of everybody using the system so we can get an accurate read of what the complaints are and know where we're seeing an uptick.
Yes, so they should then be recording it into mm-hmm. the system so there's a record of it.
If they're not in here, if they're just on a post-it or a legal pad, then they're not being tracked.
Correct.
Daryl, help me out on this, too. The annual report that we do, when is that due again? because we have to report on this.
Right, it's the end of the biennium. So.
Okay, so we should. Have you seen that yet, Stacey?
Are you talking about the biennial report?
Report, yeah.
Or a different?
I thought there was a special report we had to do on this. It wasn't the biennial report. I thought there was a.
Report to who on this?
On this type of stuff, there was. I remember that there was a one of the years we had a report where Scott did. It wasn't the biennial report. We might need to double check that.
I'll double check that, commission, but I'm not sure.
Because there was some type of consumer report that the commission compiled, and it may have just been for commission use. And so it's one of those things that may just have kind of degraded over the years. So we can then capture like an annual, and maybe it's been included in the biannual report. I don't remember. But that, if you could, Steve, you got some background there.
This information does go into the biennial report every 2 years, so yeah,
that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay, fair enough. But now the accuracy of it should be improving than what we've done in the past. Okay.
And the system itself, we've got all the kinks worked out in terms of there were multiple consumer complaint systems, I think, at one point. And that's all been streamlined. Remind me what we changed there.
Well, among other things, we put all of the public contact stuff in there so that it reports up properly.
So that's like if somebody puts a letter or a phone call, that gets tracked through here.
Gets tracked through there, and it also goes back to the case properly. So okay. That if you look at the case, you also see all the public input.
Okay. So that was that part of what Jennifer did? She put the public input in, and so that's all tracked here. And so who is putting that public input in on a regular basis? Into whose job is that?
It would either be the case manager if they get it directly, or it would be John.
Okay.
I know Julie Prescott was putting in here, was putting in a lot of stuff for her cases as she got it. So.
Okay. Just so to shout out to all staff to keep doing that, and if you're not doing it, start doing it so we really have a one place to look for getting a read on what the consumers who we're serving are feeling and how they're interacting with us.
So do we categorize the results of these then? So there's 237 records that I'm looking at. Are a certain percentage of those just deemed really not legitimate complaints, that someone just venting or something, and a certain number of them are resolved by a phone call and so it's going to be fixed, and a certain number of them are cases that are brought to the commission for further action, or what's the result?
I'm trying to see here if the quick referrals are part of that 237. I don't think they are.
I don't think they are either.
That's a different number. So anything that I inputted here out of the 237 had some kind of action, excluding the public input. So if they're not a legitimate complaint, if they're just venting, or like I said, or if they just needed some information and I helped them out or referred them to someone else, that's all the ones that show up on the quick referrals. So there was 113 of those since January. Everything here, though, I actually followed up in some way, excluding the public input. Those were just, and like I said, and there's a lot of those, so that 237 number is skewed. So I don't know how many there were if you took out the public input.
And we do track, they stay open until they're resolved and then they're closed. And so you know what's still in progress and what has been closed. Right. Kind of like we do with cases. Yeah.
So I'd have to take out all of the public input here to see how many of them I actually had to do something with.
The public inputs are filed with the cases, the appropriate case then?
As well as in here.
Yeah. And after this report, this won't be so skewed because, like I said, there was a big batch of them put in all at once because Jen did it before she left. So from now on, it will only show as we actually put them in. So it won't be so misleading, but like I said, there was over 100 that were just for the Keystone, so at least half of that number is public input. So,
and that was in 2007-8. When was the Keystone issue?
Our Keystone event 2008 and 7.
Yeah, it's just because it's still open.
When it was approved.
And do you anticipate doing this monthly or quarterly?
Quarterly. She and I are meeting more often than that, every couple of weeks, but reporting to the full commission quarterly, unless you want it more often. If there's a big issue,
starting that
comes
point,
up,
I think that's what we should start with and see once if there's reason to meet more often or less frequently.
And when we visit, Stacy and I, we get more in depth on specific cases and look at what's this complaint or that complaint. And if there's any big issues, Stacy brings them out right now. And if there's anything that is, something larger than what I think I should know about, we'll bring to you guys, and we can do that either at the next meeting or we can do it, quarterly, depending on how big of an issue it is.
And if you're looking for, are you just looking for some kind of a gauge maybe of calls that I take? I maybe get, it depends on the day, but a handful a day, four or five a day, and maybe one of those is an actual complaint that I need to follow up on. Does that help? Mm. The rest are, like, I had one this morning. Some guy wanted to know where the nearest TV tower is to him, So the rest of them are out of what we do. I refer them or I try to help them. Or the Lifeline link up. Do they have just questions? Or they want to pay their MDU bill. So I send them to MDU, those types. But maybe one of those is an actual complaint that I follow up on then. So maybe a handful of those in a week, depending on the week.
I think, too, commissioners, that there is a paragraph in the program that talks about resolution. So, if you want to really be specific in terms of how things are, what things are resolved and what aren't resolved or what are still pending, that could be part of the report as well. I've handled a few when you were gone, and, I know that some are responded very quickly. I had an MDU one. In fact, we got the response this morning. It was a guy that was a pipe that he thought was exposed, and he thought there was gas coming out of that. They were up there. They called. He complained about it. I talked to MDU. They were up there the next day, and they resolved. The guy called me this morning. He was happy with their response. We had a CenturyLink one, too, where they ended up, it was a business in Mandan, a plumbing business, that their phone wasn't working. I called CenturyLink. They were there the next day. They resolved it. And I think once we call or once we make contact with them, there seems to be a different type of resolution because they end up having made several calls and they never got any contact. And then we make the phone call or the contact and, MDU or CenturyLink. This was a CenturyLink on that phone line.
Yep.
And it was a plumbing business. And they ended up rectifying their landline within.
And that was kind of my observation, I think, when Commissioner Fedorchuk and I talked about, that's what I noticed with CenturyLink mostly, is that once they contact me and then I work through it, it gets resolved. But when they tried to do it on their own, just going through the customer service line, they don't get any help, and the customer service reps aren't helpful and aren't friendly in some cases to them. But once they come through me, we seem to get it resolved. I found that true
with some of the railroad concerns, too. Once we made a contact with some of the different levels of the railroad, that, there seems to be somebody that is going to respond to that. We've got a couple of those that are still pending. We're waiting. These are crossing issues and closed crossings that occurred. And so we don't have a resolution yet, but I do know that whether it's Burlington Northern or Canadian Pacific are working on that right now, and they've been a lot more responsive as far as the contact. Once we make contact, it's than when the farmer or the landowner has made contact. So just an observation that I've seen.
Thanks, Daryl. If I might also point out one area that there's a lot of activity is the Lifeline link up. And Stacy and I have talked about, ways to streamline that with better information provided on the front end, et cetera. So she's kind of working on that, but, 18 calls just for information.
Yeah. And I did get a copy of the actual certificate from Social Services just last week. And the certificate says to call us, so that's why they call us. I don't know the history behind that.
They call us, and then we have to refer them again. So it seems like a wasted step. that they could provide better information on the front end so people wouldn't have to be calling us, and then we actually don't do much for them. We send them someplace else. So
these are people who are looking for a Lifeline provider?
Yes, so they receive a certificate from social services saying that they're eligible. And it does say on the certificate that to sign up, you need to contact your phone company. And then on the bottom, though, then it says for questions or whatever, or assistance, call the Public Service Commission. So then they call me, and I just talk them through the steps that, yes, you need to contact your phone company, you know, if you can do a cell phone or a landline. And I do have a listing of the cell phone companies that offer it in the state, so I, you know, help direct them. So I just give them information. But I can't sign them up or do anything, so I just help talk them through the process.
We reworked that form a couple of years ago with them. So I would say if we want to rework it again, just tell them you want to rework it again, because they didn't have any problem before when we did it.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, this is great. I guess to you, I think what you're digging at, Randy, is like, how do we keep track of the stuff you might have more interest in than others? What I do is once all this information's in there, I might ask Pat to dig in and look a little bit about the pipeline safety stuff. So just having the data in there correctly, I think, is really good. So thanks.
Well, I think I applaud Julie for taking this project on. And Stacy and whoever has all been, Jen and whoever else you mentioned, Steve, that have been helping put it all together. I think this is a really important, good thing that we're doing here. And thanks for moving along this well.
Matter of fact, take this weekend off.
Yeah, thank you, Stacy and Steve and all the staff who are doing this. I feel good about it, too, and think it's going to be valuable to keep an eye on, a closer eye on this, and making sure that the customers are getting the response that they deserve.
And I agree as well. I really appreciate being able to sit down with Commissioner Fedorchak every couple weeks, and we go into more detail. I'll go through some of the actual cases that I'm working on that might stick out, and that's really helpful to me to get her impression of what's going on and advice if I'm kind of stuck on something. So I appreciate it.
And I think it'll be a balancing act for probably forever. You know, we ask some questions now, and that doesn't necessarily mean, oh, you should provide everything. A 650-page report every quarter that doesn't get read isn't useful either. So we got to keep it down to a manageable amount of information, too. So I think we're just off to a fantastic start here.
I have one question. Once a month at one of your biweekly meetings, that first report was always in your agenda. So you want that cut out then, if you're going to do it quarterly.
I would think that'd be reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't need to put these in the agenda, I don't think.
Okay. No. Good call, Esther.
It already is in the agenda?
Once a month I always put it in your agenda.
Okay.
And,
well, that shows since we didn't know it how much we're looking at
that. It would have been for the previous month.
Okay.
So I stopped doing that.
I always look forward to reading those, but I guess I can wait till the quarter.
Thank you, Esther. Okay, anything else, Dace?
Yes, and if you want it sooner, just let me know and I can put it together and email it to you at any point.
Anything else on this one?
Nope.
Alrighty then,
Thank you, Stacey.
We've got two reliability conferences. Julie, you'd like a little more detail about that?
Well, we've got, Jerry, you might want to step up to the plate here. We've got Tony Clark committed and Claire, correct?
Claire Moeller, huh?
Claire Moeller from MISO. We've got them committed to the date in September, which is, I'm pulling it up.
4th or the 10th? I can't remember which was which. The 4th was in Fargo, I had down.
Yeah, I have the 10th in Fargo.
Doesn't
matter.
Cass
County.
I have them flip-flop. It doesn't matter.
And then,
what do we want to do?
Really?
4th in Bismarck.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Red Hill
Holland
Reserve. Yep.
Okay.
There was some reason why we did it that way, too, but I can't remember.
As long as I can right.
So but we put 10th. The 10th is the date that Claire and Tony have for Fargo.
Okay, so you don't want they're not coming on the 4th, just the 10th.
Well, when we originally started talking about this, we were going to have a different focus out west. And so I guess this is what, maybe we should set a work session to talk through all of this and kind of get rolling on what exactly we want to do at these two conferences. And
that's a great idea.
Because it's already June. So we better get that going. And I don't think we have enough time right now to really get, unless you want to.
No, I don't think so. I think we can schedule a work session.
Okay.
But have we sent out notice yet for those? Because I had it in my calendar, but I don't know that it was a notice.
We didn't know, and we don't want to, I don't think, until we have a little more meat to the agenda and stuff, because then if we can't remember, if we pull it off, it looks like we canceled something that hadn't really even been planned yet. So.
Okay. All right, I'll put that on scheduling if that's all right. Okay, perfect. Mr. Call and Ms. Fedorchek, IT committee meeting.
Oh, Steve walked out. So we'll just wait a second. I have one more that I wanted to add.
Let's just hold up on these other two. So Tony Clark and Claire Moeller would be at this September 10th meeting in Fargo. They will not be at the Bismarck meeting.
Correct.
Okay.
Originally, I think we were talking a little bit more about doing enhanced oil recovery and some of that stuff at the Bismarck focus. And so that's what we need to iron out in our work session.
Okay.
Okay, so Steve's back. He sent around the email about the IT committee meetings coming up. What are the dates, Steve?
Next Wednesday.
And there was opportunities at those meetings for public input. I don't think, did we get copies of that in our packets here?
Send it around, but I don't know.
No, it isn't.
I can make copies quick, but essentially it starts, they're going to talk about the...
Your mic isn't on, Steve. You need to turn your mic on.
Sorry.
They're going to talk about the desktop support study and the consolidation study. They've set aside 45 minutes, so there's not going to be a lot of discussion and less than 15 minutes for comments, so...
And then they have bill drafts.
And they have bill drafts. We don't know what those may be.
Is that in Bismarck or Grand Forks?
That's in Grand Forks.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, oil and gas is sending an observer, but it won't be an IT person. We don't know about Attorney General yet, and we don't know about Water Commission yet, whether they're sending anybody to observe or not.
Well, the question that came up to me is, if we don't, here's their opportunity to take input. So if we don't offer any input, what does that say?
Well, agreed. I saw that in Grand Forks the same day we have the hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought of that right away, that one of us should be there at a bare minimum, Steve.
Or Steve.
So that's what I guess I thought, is we could, unless there's some reason that we couldn't, we need to make sure you're there, Steve, and say something. I mean, we know what we've said, and it's nothing new. We just got to keep... Yeah. My opinion, keep pinging on it.
I agree.
Okay, good. Well, I think that I'm comfortable with that. That Steve go and drum up our same arguments, and here's what we're concerned about.
Put together a short statement and run it past the three of you.
Okay.
Well, I'm wondering if we have all the testimony that we have before.
Yes.
I mean, so I'd think a statement, but could we just resubmit what we've already submitted? I mean, to give them something and say the commissioners would love to be here. All three of them would love to be here, but they're at a hearing now, and so I'm here on their behalf. These are our comments that have been updated, and basically the same thing, but we'll just put a couple updates on it and hand each committee member a copy of it, and then you make whatever you verbalize.
Well, I think the talking points that we had for, I think, the House side last time were pretty good. I don't know whether the long version or the short version. Remember, we had two versions of it. But
well, and those don't take any – they don't reflect the study, so I think they should be updated to speak to some specific issues we have with the study and the outcomes on the study. But I think our message is just the same. It just needs to be targeted towards what they recommended in the study and why we don't think that works.
Yep.
Think you can find your way to Grand Forks, Steve?
It's been a while, but I think so.
Okay. Alrighty, then. That's quick. That's next week, isn't it?
Chief, can you yes. Where is it in Grand Fork? Where at?
It is at the University of North Dakota Systems Information Technologies Building.
At what time?
Unfortunately, we would be up right around that 9 o'clock time frame.
Yeah, go up the night before, get a room, and do what you do.
I think I'll probably go up that morning, but
we'll whatever see you want.
Plays out.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Julie?
That's it for IT.
Andy?
That's out.
Steve? Okay, perfect. All righty.
I have one more to add if there isn't any more on that.
Oh, we got plenty to add. Go ahead.
on the discussion?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to talk about what we want to do as a commission to follow up on the grain rail complaints and that issue. I have tried to think of ways to address this. The railroads really were unresponsive to our request. Come on and sit down, Austin. And so I don't know, we can talk about that, and maybe we need a work session to talk about that, but this was something that I've been working with Austin on. I don't know if any of you have ever, and I've worked with Sue some too, but my idea was to go straight to the people who are affected. We have a way to reach them all and to get a sense straight from them how they feel services, both on the fertilizer side and just their regular grain deliveries. And so there's a tool, an easy tool to use online called SurveyMonkey. We can send them a survey, and they can fill it out, and all the data is collected and analyzed, so it wouldn't require a lot of staff time. So Austin's put together kind of a rough draft of a potential survey. I didn't that's as far as I've gone, but I just wanted to throw that out to you guys as a potential tool to use for getting a sense from all of our licensees how they feel the service has been, all the elevators that we're regulating.
Well, I'm not against doing that. I just maybe take a step back. So we sent out a formal request for information, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our attorney's not here right now. But we sent out a formal request. If we don't think that's adequate, I think we send out another formal request and say, listen, you did not comply. You have until such and such a date to give it, and we'll. And then I think we schedule a hearing. And, I mean, this is good, and maybe that can be part of it. But, I mean, if we send them a request, they didn't give us what we want. We can't just say, my opinion, well, okay. I mean, we've got to continue down that road that they give us what we asked for. Otherwise, we'll have a hearing, and then they can come in and do it under oath, if you will. I mean, I was our youngest.
We'd have to get some legal advice. They basically said, we aren't accountable to you. And so we're reporting to the STB, and you can check there and see how we're doing.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, we should get some legal advice on that issue. But in a more immediate sense, I want to know how the service is.
Well, I think we know how the service is. It's terrible.
Well, do you? I mean, do you have data to back that up? Mine is all anecdotal evidence.
Well, the railroads have acknowledged that it's terrible. We had them in here 6 weeks ago, and they said it was terrible. And
right, but how has it gotten since then? I mean,
I guess at this point, you know, I'm really frustrated by their response as well. Mm-hmm. And in the rate case many years ago, and I wasn't here, so I'm not sure how well I understand how that played out, but it's a complex area of federal law, and I think in that rate case, we spent a ton of money getting expert advice on how to proceed. Mm-hmm. And so in order to challenge what they have said, that they don't have any legal obligation to provide the additional information we asked for, I think we would need to do that. And is that a good use of our money when the railroad, at least the primary, the biggest railroad provider, has laid out a plan whereby they're going to have things back under control by the end of July? And so for over 6 weeks, is it a wise use of our resources to spend money on a lot of legal advice to see if we can make them provide us information? I guess I'm thinking at this point it's maybe best to let this play out a few more weeks and see once if they did get it under control. I sensed that the other Class A provider that was in the room that sat there relatively unresponsive that day probably left feeling too like they did a very poor job of responding, and I'm hopeful that they're following the lead of their larger competitor and are putting together a progress plan and making similar progress. Now, if we get to that late July date that BN had laid out and they're still nowhere and everything is still delayed and the elevators are all full and that sort of thing, well, then they've clearly failed. But in the meantime, just to get more reports, if we spend a bunch of money on legal maneuvers in order to force them to report more than what they are otherwise willing to, and before we even get the legal action taken, they have done what they committed to do and are providing good service again, we'll have kind of used that money and not accomplished a lot with it.
Well, I sort of split the issues in two. One is how are we going to react to their response to our request, which is the railroad side, and how do we communicate with our elevators to find out how service is directly? Because we have contact with these folks. We can do that in a systematic way, not just on an anecdotal way. So is there value to reaching out to them and having some, you know, specific questions asked that they can respond to? And so we can say, huh, okay, all the fertilizer was delivered. That issue is taken care of. Or no, it wasn't. It was, you know, late, whatever. So I feel an obligation to be in better contact with these folks on a more comprehensive basis, not just an anecdotal basis, and to really understand what their problems are. Aside from what the railroads are willing to send us, which probably is going to be, you know, reports and information that is a lot to digest.
Yeah, well, you know, I've looked through their annual reports, and they're not very helpful. They're
right.
Very, very generalized.
So what would say you go through, Julian? You send all this stuff out, and it comes back. You get information, but the railroads have already thumbed their nose at us, saying, "Sorry, we don't report to you." So then you get the information, but you still go back to the same basic problem. They're not responsive to what we have.
Well, if we got a lot of information back from the elevators saying, you know, we're X this many days delayed, the fertilizer shipments were inadequate, poor, late, I guess it just gives us more hard data with which to determine how much legal action we want to pursue, much outside legal advice we want to get. If we hear that they're making progress, that things are, then I'm more apt to just let them work, you know, let the process work itself out and see. But if they're not making progress and we're still really delayed, then I'd be more apt to push back harder on what they sent us in response to our request.
See, that's where I think I struggle with the, whether it comes back in a survey or in the discussion, it's still anecdotal information unless they give it to us in a hearing type of process. If the shipper comes back, and that's where I asked the attorney to come in here. Let me just back up a little bit. I think this is all good. We'll chart a path forward here. But so we sent the letter out to them. They exercised their ability to say they don't have to tell us anything. So then we don't have to take that legal conclusion. I mean, we still, I think, go back to the basic premise that if we can show that the oil is getting preferential treatment over ag, that's the basis of a case. And so I think that's still, to me, the question. I know that they came back with their response. How do you view where we sit at from a legal perspective right now?
Well,
I understanding have, that you're not the railroad expert, but yeah, you're the...
And I have no opinion on that, on the merits of a case. But back to the question I was hearing a minute ago, you're not sitting as a decision maker. I mean, you're a decision maker, like, do I decide to pursue the case? But you're not the judge in this case. The STB is at some point.
Right.
So you can get as much information as you want, any way you want, hopefully legally. But the point being, it doesn't have to be sworn. Doesn't have to be in a hearing or anything like that. You're gathering it, like you're doing like depositions, like data requests,
okay,
like staff does before you. And then you're going to have this pot of information, good, bad, helpful, not helpful, and you're going to weed through it with experts and figure out how good or bad a case that you have. So there is no constraint on gathering that information because you're not the decision maker. You are a litigant trying to determine what your case is. Do you want to go further or do you want to change it or whatever? So that's that part is okay.
So I can't drag the railroads in here.
You could drag them in here to try to interrogate them. You're not dragging them in here as their regulator. Well, a tiny bit you are, but like
so
on
I
their
rates. I can't open up a docket and say, I want BNSF and CP to come in and tell me under oath what we tried to do that
yes.
day. I can do that, right?
You can have an investigation.
That's what I want.
You can drag them in here under oath. And again, you're not going to make a decision that they have to change their rates.
Okay, so anything that we would collect via survey can be used at that time.
It can be. It could be used for your decision making on what to pursue at STB.
Okay.
It couldn't be used if you were making a decision like a judge in some piece part of what you do regulate of them. Okay. It would have to be. You'd bring in a few of those elevators and put them under oath, and then get their answers that way. But
well, I guess
you can do a combination.
This out to Randy and Julie. I think sending the surveys out. No harm, no foul. Okay.
Right.
And I think from the other side, I think we send a letter back to the railroads saying, and we'd probably need a work session here, and saying, listen, we appreciate your response. It didn't answer our questions. Therefore, we're opening up an investigation. We request you be here at such and such a time. And we can put that date in August or September, that after the time to, you know, let this kind of flush out, so that we're not just kind of waiting. They can see that we're collecting the data. We've set a marker in the sand, if you will, of September 1st, that they'll have to come back and give us a more formal update.
Well, how about this? You know, I mean, they gave us a very clear time. I don't remember the date off the top of my head. The 26th of July or something like that kind of comes to mind. It was a late July date. So whether, regardless of what we're hearing anecdotally, it's an important issue, and I would be very favorable to holding something here and bringing them in and finding out exactly what the results were and where we're at sometime shortly after that point in time. I mean, whether it's just a few days or a few weeks, but very close after that. If we're going to do a survey, though, I really think, A, we can anecdotally survey. At least I'll be going to the grain dealers convention in just a couple of weeks, and so many of these people will be there. But also, to the extent that we'd get more responses and to precise questions and a paper trail of it instead of just what we remember from hanging around at a meeting, it seems to me this might be more useful nearer that deadline, because if we took this today, I would expect, even assuming that there's been some improvements made, the taste in people's mouths lasts a while, and I would expect this is going to come back and say service is terrible, and the railroads would say, yep, we said it was terrible too just a few weeks before that, but we said it would be better before harvest season kicks in, and it will be. And so I think this would
They also promised to get the fertilizer in, and that this would be a way to hold them accountable and see if they've done that, because that fertilizer issue is kind of, you know, was early spring. And these surveys are really easy. I don't know if you ever received one, but it comes into your mail. It's a link. You click on it. You go there. You take it. You're done. It's very easy, and it's all compiled, and you get the results that are very easy to analyze as well. So it isn't something, once we do it, that we couldn't repeat with different questions closer to the date. And the one other aspect besides getting us good data that I like is it tells all of these elevators that we're serious and we're following up on this. And we'll follow up again. And we're going to use this data to direct our actions as part to help direct our actions with the railroads. So I want them knowing that we're following this and pursuing it, not just kind of letting the railroads tell us, oh, we're not reporting to you, and then waiting. That feels weak to me.
Well, it always comes back to we can all three of us agree on something, and that was one way, or you can just do it too. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so I'm not against going it out, but I think if we do it in June, we should do one again in July. That'd be my viewpoint. And then Randy,
we can even set that out in the front end. We're going to check back with you on these issues today. We'll be checking back again in later week. Please respond so we can get a sense of any progress that's being made or any additional problems.
Let's kind of backtrack. What were you thinking, Randy, for a date time frame to have them come back in and give us an update? Let's start with that as a date, a range, like the first week of August?
I would say anytime after the end of July.
Okay.
And if it was the last day or two of July, then we all had an opportunity. I don't think that'd be bad either. We'd just have to double check to make sure it's after whatever date they gave us.
Well, let's look out a little bit here. I'm looking at August 5th, 7th, 8th, 13th is wide open days for me. Maybe we pick one of those dates right now, and that becomes our follow-up date to that letter that they sent us saying, listen, we appreciate your response. We want an update from you on this date. In the meantime, Julie, whatever you want to sort out for surveys, then do it.
Okay.
So did any of those dates work for the two of you?
Just got a comment that if you're going to do that, if you want some of the grain elevators in, if you get two
harvest,
of them,
yeah, good point.
Yeah.
No, great point, Jim. Let's look at that week of the 5th, then. I'm wide open that week, actually. 5th, 7th, 8th? 5th or the 7th?
I have some on the 7th, but it wouldn't be a showstopper. It's not urgent.
I'm out of town that week.
Okay.
But
what about that week before in late July? We have our meeting on Wednesday, but
I'm open the 31st.
Yes, am I?
Okay. So this. Oh, you looked
no,
at the 7th.
I'm not open on the 31st.
I'm gone from the 31st through the 6th. So 7th or 8th, I could.
Okay, Randy, you said the 7th or the 8th. I'm fine both those days.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Can we do the afternoon of
sure.
the 7th?
Do the starting at, let's say, 1 o'clock. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then 1:30. We'll 1:30, okay. 1:30 till we're done. Make it like 1:30 to 5. And so we could Austin, since you're our head attorney here for the next week when Alana's out, can you get the response, look at the letter. Look at the letter we sent to them, their response back and say, put something together. Thank you very much for that. We would like an update on August 7th at 1:30 to where you're at. And in the meantime, Julie, whatever you decide to do
okay.
is
and
fine.
If you have any input on this, if you want to make any input on the survey, let me know. Otherwise, Austin and I will work it out.
But I think at a minimum, though, I think, Randy, you wanted surveys as one for sure as close to that date as possible.
Correct.
Okay. That's unreasonable.
Well, we'll do one now, and then we'll have to remind and think of what questions you want to ask closer to the. We'll see how this one goes and how long it takes and that sort of thing.
And,
we'll
and I think it would be very useful if this one referenced that there will be a follow-up on.
Yep.
Okay. Lonnie, you see any critical legal pitfalls here? Okay. All right. Well, thank you all very much. Sorry to pull you out of what you're doing, Alana. Thanks. All right. Let's keep moving down here. I just said a couple quick things that I would want to talk about the MARC conference, but we're already getting into it. What are you two available this afternoon since we don't have an informal at 1:30?
Yeah, I was hoping to have some time to actually work in my office. But.
Well, I just thought of maybe we could kind of just walk through briefly at 1:30 the MARC stuff that I was thinking about and get your two thoughts early on that so we can kind of turn loose in the planning. Yep. Unless you want to go through it now.
We do it in half an hour. No, I have to get going here.
Yeah, okay. 1:30? We can do it in half hour, right, Stace? Does that work for you? Okay. All right, that's all I had for discussion. Esther, can you do that magic?
You didn't ask me, but the answer is yes, I'm fine with that.
I thought you said you were okay. I'm sorry. Commissioner Crispin, are you available at 1:30 today?
It works very well for me, in fact.
All right. Okay, let's do some quick scheduling here. Mr. Diller, Otter Tail Integrated Resource Planning Update.
I've been talking to Otter Tail about their integrated resource plan, and they would like to come and share some things with the commission. As you know, a good bit of their business is in Minnesota. They're getting pressure again to do different things that may not be in our interests. I want you to hear about that. They'll also bring their environmental expert. He's already read the 645-page report from EPA or the new emission requirements, so he'll be able to give us some good information on that too. I'd like to meet with them sooner rather than later. I know you guys are busy because we're getting requests for information about these about the EPA requirements. I suppose you'll be asking a staff member to draft up some comments to EPA in fairly short order. So,
did they give us some dates, Mike?
They're flexible. So,
well, if we want to do sooner than later, the first break I see is the morning of the 19th, but that's just an opening for me. I don't know where
I can. No, I can't that day morning.
No? Okay.
Late in the afternoon I could, but.
Okay. The morning of the 20th, I have nothing that morning. Got a bunch of stuff in the afternoon.
Don't we have a pie meeting at?
At 11.
11?
I have a 9 o'clock meeting with the state chamber.
Okay. The 23rd, we're in Dickinson. 24th, we're all wrapped up. The 25th is a commission meeting. 26th, we're in Fargo. 27th.
What about the starting the 27th? I can't. But what about the morning of the 26th? Would this be a long? Okay.
Well, it probably would take an hour if commissioners didn't ask any questions. But if they did, an hour and a half or two.
How about this? Feel like driving to Fargo on the 26th, Commissioner? You can do it in Fargo.
Meet in Fargo?
I'm just throwing that around. I don't know.
I won't be able to go the night before to Fargo, though.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, that doesn't work, Randy. Sorry, the 26th in the morning early. I got to be in Fargo like it.
I mean, I could meet in Fargo.
Well, that didn't. You just said that didn't work for you. That was bad.
No, because we've got a thing the night before here. So sure. I'm not going up to Fargo late okay. that night. And
well,
wow.
Do we expect that?
It'll be a two-hour meeting.
Belfouche hearing on Monday the 23rd is going to get late on us?
It's always tough to pick hearings not knowing how long they're going to take. Well, what about the morning of the 30th of June or the 1st of July?
I'll be gone that week.
Wait, when do you come back?
Back for the meeting on the 10th.
Okay. Well, that's right. Boy, oh boy, huh? Shouldn't be so hard, should it, Mike? Let's look one more time.
Well, what about the 11th?
Of?
July.
In the morning. I was just double-checking the schedule one more time. How quick could they be here, Mike?
They're willing to be as flexible as you want them to be. They have a plane that they can use if they need to, so or they can get up early. They'll be here whenever you set the time.
God. No, on the 11th, although I don't think we would need to be there all day for it, but that's actually when the Grain Dealers Convention is going on.
Right.
Oh.
And so some of that time, I think.
Here? I don't have that on my calendar.
It is here.
What was the conflict we had on the 19th again?
I'm tied up that morning. And Randy, you're gone. He's tied up.
Yeah. Well, I'd be available in the later afternoon.
I'm in Minot that evening.
And then the morning of the 20th, you were busy, right, Julie?
I have a 9 a.m. I mean.
Well, do we have anything scheduled for the 25th of June? That might be a, for that informal.
Yes,
we do. What was it just?
Scheduled one today.
We did, okay. Well, what about this? What about, we did that afternoon.
Yeah, well, that might not be 2 hours.
Right.
I would guess your Thunder Spirit would be done in a...
It'll be quick.
Half hour or so.
Why don't we do it the afternoon of the 25th after our informal, if that works for the...
2:30.
Yeah, because I'm not going, I'm in Bismarck that night. If that works for you, Randy.
Yes, I kind of didn't catch that when we were scheduled that. I was actually looking to see if we could move that meeting back to later afternoon and attend the festivities in Tioga that morning, but it sounds to me like we've pretty well got the day booked up, so...
Yeah, everything is so tight.
I've been up on that.
It's not going to work out. So, yeah, I'd be fine with that afternoon then.
Okay. Well, could we go at 2:30 then, Mike? You think that'll work for them? That gives them the morning to get out here, and we could go 2:30 to 4:30 because it'll be a... It'll be a long discussion, I bet, because they're not going to tell us that they're extending the life of their coal plants. They're going to tell us they're shutting their coal down is what they're going to tell us. It's my opinion.
So what time do you say, 2:30?
2:30 on June 25.
Okay, that wasn't as bad as we thought. Daryl, you can try to schedule a June director's meeting, aren't you?
Yeah,
let's go to a July director's meeting, Daryl.
I think that'd probably be fine.
Why don't we do something if we're around on July 21st or something like that? Anybody around that? It's a Monday. We could do it at afternoon.
Okay. Works for me.
1:30.
Let me double check with Randy.
Yep.
I won't forget him.
Let's see here. Yeah, let's look here. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you, Daryl. Now, Daryl, you want to do XL Energy's jurisdiction allocation study from our last rate case, correct?
Right.
Well, what have they given us for dates?
They gave us the 4th through the 8th.
Of July?
Of August,
well.
This is what, they're reporting on the results of the study, or they're just getting it set up?
Their methodology, they're going to give us the way I read through it.
We just want to keep the commission in the loop. It's a big deal, and it was a big deal in the hearing, and so if we want to give the commission a couple of opportunities, if you see us going down a path you don't like, you'll have the opportunity to tell us that.
Okay. So what were the dates they suggested?
4th through the 8th.
Of July? Yeah.
Of August.
Or of August.
Well, 7th or 8th would have to be for me.
What did we just say for the railroad?
We said the 7th, the morning, or the afternoon of the 7th. So I'd have to look at the 8th.
Okay. Randy, what does the 8th of August look like for you?
Works for me.
In the morning?
Yeah.
Mike, that'd be okay? Okay, the morning of August 8th, say 9 o'clock? Do you want to go earlier or later?
9 sounds great.
Randy?
Good.
Okay, perfect. Okay, that is all that I have. Anything that you do?
Well, I wanted to throw out, just for funsies, a staff summer gathering, picnic, potentially at my cul-de-sac, which we share with Cheryl. But I'm not committing to that yet. I thought we'd look for a date first. I know this has happened in the past. We didn't do anything last summer that I recall. And I just think it's worth trying to find a date.
Okay. During the day, I presume you're talking, just like we do our Christmas
party? Well, no, I'm thinking evening barbecue type thing after work.
Certainly not mandatory for people?
No, not mandatory. No. If there's folks that want to take the afternoon off and golf beforehand, you could tie it to that. And I know that was thrown out last year and kind of fizzled, but anyway,
because just, the three of us couldn't find a time that worked for us.
The golf thing fizzled even among staff. But
Randy's gonna be haying if it's golf season.
So
what do you got, Julia? Since it's your house,
I didn't even look because I didn't figure out but maybe...
I'm certainly not against it.
The that week of the 21st, 22nd
what month?
Of July.
Wasn't that when we're trying to have some people also go up to the state fair, though?
Yeah. Is that the state fair week?
I think so.
All right. What about... Let's see. The week before that is bad for us. What about the 28th of July? Monday.
Right now, that's okay. Jerry, you going down to Southwest Power Pool?
Don't know yet. That's a regional state committee meeting.
Yeah.
So, I don't know yet.
If Jerry doesn't go, I got to go. So one of us will be out.
Is
but.
That-
Well,
that's the way it is.
We should have somebody there, but we'll sort through that later.
Okay.
If that works, Julie, whatever works, I think, for you and your, since you're going to be the. That's
well, I'll be looking for a committee of staff to help spearhead organization. Just a couple people, just to say.
Okay.
Like, what should we eat? And
Randy, does that work for you Monday night?
Yep.
Why don't we just schedule it and see what happens?
All right. Throw it out there. So for all those in our listening audience, anybody who's interested in serving on a staff summer barbecue planning committee, see me.
5 o'clock on the July 28th?
Let's say, yeah, 5:30. I mean, okay. Just, yeah, after.
You know, what?
At least kick in some money or something like that.
I don't know what type of thing. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know what the rules are on these kinds of things, but you know, there was a time when a state agency got in trouble for their little summer picnic stuff they were doing.
As long as you notice it.
Wasn't it during office hours type of stuff?
I don't know what the issues were, but just that somebody's making sure we're not doing the same thing, because I'm sure when they started on that trail one time, they thought they were fine too.
Yeah.
I know the Bismarck Commission got in trouble with that, but they didn't notice it.
No. Yeah, well, this is more the Bob days.
Right, that was leaving during staff hours. That was getting time off and stuff like that during the day. So I think if we're looking at an evening activity and if we plan it over our noon hours,
yeah,
you know.
It's not mandatory.
And it's
not a requirement.
Yeah, and we aren't going to be using any state funds to,
to
cover the cost of it. We should be okay.
You also had put down 2 work sessions also for MDU.
Oh, geez, you're right.
And also for the Fargo Reliability Conference work
session. Yes.
Thank you, Esther.
Boy, now we filled June up, didn't we?
What about on Friday? Do we have, after the Tom's Backhoe, do we have any time?
This Friday, I think I'm booked. I need to leave right after the. I got a meeting at 10:30 to 12:00. I got to leave at noon.
Well, could we come in a little early and do?
Maybe we could do the reliability for like 9:00.
Oh, that's
8:30.
Yeah, that's sure. That's fine. That's fine.
20th. 13th.
That's fine.
Let's do it.
Okay.
What time?
Well, which ones are we talking, Esther? What were they?
You're talking the Fargo Reliability Conference.
Yep.
And the MDU Tariff Rates work session.
MDU. Oh, then, yeah, let's not do the MDU one. That'll take a little more time. Let's do the Fargo Reliability at 8:30 on Friday.
Give us a half hour?
June 13th.
Okay.
I think we can.
That's fine.
Cut to the chase. 8:30.
8:30.
And then the MDU rate, that is less, we have to,
I just want
the
to
notice goes
schedule.
To June, July 23rd, I think, so we can, we have a little bit more breathing room there. Are you guys around the days before the 4th? Are you around like the 1st?
I'm
or was
not.
That you're gone?
Yeah.
Okay. What about
July 18th? For some reason, that morning is open.
Yeah, I would be around.
Randy, you're on that morning?
July 18th.
It's a Friday morning.
Yeah, I'm available.
You're what?
I'm available.
You're good? Hey, there we go. Jackpot. So, what time we got? 9 o'clock?
Sure.
Randy, that work?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Holy
cow. What was that for?
That's a work session on the two cases dealing with the MDU ones, the settlement agreement discussion, and the, that'll be the settlement agreement discussion is what it'll be. Okay, going once, going twice.
I have a question.
Yes, sir. Now that you're the head attorney, you got questions.
I do. I have like a whole
lot. You shine every day, right?
This letter for the railroad.
Yes, sir.
Said the original one was signed by all three of you. Did you want all three of you on the signatories for this one as well?
Why don't you get a draft together and float it around, and then we can probably all three sign it again, unless you guys don't want to sign it. But I thought it was
for setting up another meeting. Yeah. That letter. Yeah, I think we should.
Okay. Good question, Austin. Okay, one more time. Going once, going twice. Sue.
This may be premature, but did you want to go ahead and think about scheduling a work session sometime into the future to discuss bond levels now, or you want to wait until a later point in time when you're scheduling?
I'll look at the portfolio holder on that.
A little later when we're scheduling.
Later? Okay.
Good question, though. All right, one more time. Going once, going twice. All right, thank you all very much. We'll close the administrative portion of our regular scheduled commission meeting. Thank you all.